broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who's had a paper route for 25 years but never collected, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. It's about time. It is about time I finally get to be on the air talking about the things we love to talk about. I'm so happy to be with you guys tonight. So glad you're with me here on Nightlight. We're broadcasting live statewide in Wisconsin. What could be better? From our downtown Green Bay studios here at WGBW at City Deck Landing. Tuesday night in Wisconsin, mid-Feb, borderline late Feb. Someone staring at the window, giving me the creeps. A little dark outside, Conrad.
It is.
You ready to take someone down?
I don't know. I think I'll send you out there first.
Wait a minute. I thought that was part of your job. Was that? Didn't they explain that to you when you took the job?
I thought they said keep the producers safe.
All right, fair enough. Guess it's every girl for herself. How you doing tonight, buddy?
Doing great.
Good.
You know, it was a. I know probably everyone heard this a million times a day, but it was a nice day outside.
Gorgeous. It's supposed to be nicer tomorrow, all over the state too. Yeah, I'll take it. You're not a winter guy, are you?
No, I mean, I used to be when I was a kid. Now it's like, I want to go outside, wear some nice clothes.
Yeah.
Well, I should say, I don't want to wear a sweatshirt, a coat.
Right.
Snow pants, boots.
I'm with you. I mean, I liked winter when I was a kid, but once the allure of the snow fort wears off, no thanks, you know?
Once you're done your, like, 40th snow fort of the year, you're like, all right, I can.
Yeah.
I'd rather have spring now.
I get the picture. Been there, done that. You know what I did today? My garage was, the snow was kind of leaking and dripping because it was so sunny.
Yeah.
And I did one of those things where I'm walking and a drop of water went right down my neck between, I'm like, I couldn't have aimed at that. It's just every time, it seems like when I'm going to my car, it just is like a perfect pinpoint shot right between my collar and then it slowly rolls down your back. You know, there are people with real problems in the world, I'm just saying. It's a moment of discomfort throughout my day during today. So got a lot of show for you guys tonight. Are you in a good mood? Let me know. I'm in a great mood. I hope you guys are listening. I hope you're ready to participate. We're going to be talking about some really cool stuff tonight. I got some really fun guests. Comedian, Madison-based comedian Johnny Beaner will be here. I'm going to play a little teaser of his stand-up. He's a very funny stand-up comedian. One of the last comedians, too, to appear on the David Letterman show, The Late Show with David Letterman, technically. That was in 2015. Johnny tours all over, been on TV. I think he did a dry bar comedy special. And those are specials only clean comics can do. I was never invited. Not because I was a dirty comic, because they didn't exist before I sort of segued into writing. But Johnny will be here. He's very funny, very excited to have him. John Mossman is going to stop by briefly and tell us some good news about his film. John was on the program about a month ago, and his film, A Good Guy with a Gun, did very well on the festival circuit. He finally got some news about distribution. He's going to share that with us shortly into the 8 o'clock hour, and then producer and former studio executive Jeffrey Kurz will be here. Jeffrey used to work at Miramax and is from Milwaukee originally, and he found his way back to Milwaukee in the last few years, as so many of us saunter back to Wisconsin after years on the West Coast in this crazy business. And Jeffrey just made a film called Deep Woods. We'll talk to him about that. That's an independent film and really, a really solid effort. You never know what people are going to, you never know what to expect. When people give you a link to their film and it's an indie and you know they didn't have a lot of money, it runs the gamut. It could be terrible. It could be heart is in the right place, but it doesn't work. It could be really good. It could be great. This film really blew me away because it's just done smartly, and I'm not surprised at all that Jeff has a studio background. and is a very adept producer. So he will be along at 8:20 to discuss Deep Woods. Our question tonight. All right, this is some interesting news. Saturday Night Live, we're approaching its 50th anniversary. There's a film in the works by Jason Reitman. He's doing a documentary called SNL 50, I believe it's called. What is that called? I can't find it. Yeah, I think it's SNL 50. Anyway, it's a documentary about Saturday Night Live, and he touches on a lot of the movies that have been made. You know, when they first started, it was basically sketch comedy on TV. It was like a televised version of Second City. I don't think Lorne Michaels had any idea initially what he had and how much money he was going to make from his cast members branching off and making films. And they did a lot of them. And he's like an executive producer or producer on, I think, all of them, if not close to it. So he's got some good walking around money off the backs of his cast members, which is great because he gave them an opportunity too. Kind of everybody won. But our question tonight, given the 50th anniversary of SNL, which is right around the corner, what is your favorite movie starring an SNL actor or actress? What's your favorite movie starring an SNL star? Let us know. This is a fun topic. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. And if you've ever read books about the Saturday Night Live cast in the early days, they did a lot of partying. 1975, the Not Ready for Primetime Players hit the airwaves. It was Dan Aykroyd, Chevy Chase, Garrett Morris, Jane Curtin, Gilda Radner. Bill Murray came along in season two. I think he replaced Chevy Chase. But an incredible history. And I forgot about this too. Billy Crystal was a Saturday Night Live cast member. They had some weird years there, like Anthony Michael Hall was on, Billy Crystal. Steve Martin was never a cast member, but I think if he hasn't hosted the show more than anyone, he's right up there. So, but we are going to keep this question tonight to Saturday Night Live cast members. What is your favorite movie starring an SNL star? You can text us at 844-967-2789. Or go to the app. We're on statewide, so you just click on any one of the stations and then click text and fire away. We'd love to read your texts on the air. We love when you're part of the show, and you're welcome to chime in about anything we're talking about tonight. We've got a few things to get to. It's National Muffin Day. National Love Your Pet Day. National Comfy Day. And National Cherry Pie Day. That's a lot of national days.
Are we talking about the song Cherry Pie?
You know what? Why not? Because
that's a great song.
You think that's a great song? I don't know. It seems a little pandering to me.
You know, it's because I played Guitar Hero when I was younger, and that was the song I went to.
Nice. That was your go-to?
It was, because I could beat it on the hardest level.
Oh, I love it, man. You got to give us a little demonstration one of these nights.
Yeah. You got to tune into the stream for that.
I don't know how we could do that, but that would be fun to do. Conrad is live in studio playing Guitar Hero. Here's his version of Cherry Pie. Do you like muffins, Conrad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love every single muffin except for the ones that come with raisins.
Okay. That's fair.
I can't stand raisins.
I'm with you on that. I've been doing this like keto thing because I'm at a point in my life where I'm either going to like keep... I'm going to continue to expand or I'm going to get back in shape. And I'm not in terrible shape, but I need to be in a little bit better shape. My point is Sunday mornings are mornings for muffins. They were meant for muffins or pastries. I have to have a pastry or a muffin on Sunday morning.
A cup of Joe and a muffin.
Yes.
Or a scone.
Yes. Scone.
Definitely.
Absolutely. A nice Danish. Bring it. National Love Your Pet Day, National Comfy Day. That I hate the ones. It's like when they're so vague like that. Come on. Be specific or don't have a day. Make it a regional day. Make it regional comfy day.
It just doesn't make sense. Yeah. I mean, why can't you be comfy any other day?
It just doesn't make sense. I'm with you. It's preposterous. Some birthdays today. Kurt Cobain. I don't even know how old Kurt would have been, but he passed away in 1994 at the age of 27. Same age as Jim Morrison, actually, when Jim Morrison died. Rihanna turns 35 today. Miles Teller. To me, Miles Teller, I mean, he's a pretty big star now, but he's not a household name yet, I don't think. But he's just building like this incredible resume. And when a guy can play, what was he, Goose's son in Maverick? I think that's like a side gig for him as a big blockbuster. Then he's in a show that's so great called The Offer, about how The Godfather got made, where he plays Al Ruddy, a producer. And he's so good in that. He was so great in Whiplash. Everything he's in, he's great, but he at least appears to take roles for artistic or creative purposes. I don't know. Maybe I don't know anything about the guy. Maybe he wants to be the biggest star in the world like Tom Cruise, but he just strikes me as a guy who wants to build a good body of work. And I think that's pretty cool. Trevor Noah turns 39 today. Cindy Crawford, 57. And here's my favorite of the day, Sidney Poitier. This is his birthday. He lived from 1927 and died in 2022, just 2 years ago. So he is one of the stars of my all-time, probably a top five movie for me, In the Heat of the Night. He played opposite Rod Steiger. It was directed by Norman Jewison. And it's about a black police officer from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, who gets stuck in a small town in Mississippi overnight. And there's a murder in the town. And immediately they pick him up and bring him to the chief of police, played by Rod Steiger. So he misses his train. He's stuck there. The town is quite racist. And it's just about how Sidney Poitier sort of navigates the town. The police force there ends up helping the force try to solve the murder once he clears himself. But just a phenomenal, phenomenal film by a great actor. We've got a clip of that coming up. We'll talk more. We'll read your texts. What's your favorite Saturday Night Live film or film starring a Saturday Night Live player? That's what we want to know. That's the question for tonight. Coming up next, In the Heat of the Night talk and a clip of some stellar acting by Sidney Poitier. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwab, and this is Nightlight. Great to have you with me. Coming up in just a few minutes, comedian Johnny Beaner. He's a Madison-based stand-up comic. Very funny guy. I'm so excited to have him on the show. Coming up a little later, Jeffrey Kurz, former studio executive and now film producer based here in Wisconsin. We have some news I just want to pass along here. There is a missing child. And I want to say this is... Conrad, can you help me out here? Where is the... I want to say it was in Manitowoc, correct? Let's read this so we can get the word out. We can help sort of get the word out here.
So it was an Amber Alert issued for a three-year-old boy missing from Two Rivers.
At 3:55 p.m., Manitowoc County... The child's name is Elijah Vu, age 3, male, white, 3 feet tall, 45 pounds, with sandy hair, brown eyes, and a birthmark on his left knee. He was last seen near 3900 Mishicot Road, Two Rivers. He was last seen wearing gray sweatpants, a long-sleeve dark-colored shirt, and red and green dinosaur slip-on shoes. If you have any information on the whereabouts of Elijah Vu, please contact the Two Rivers Police Department at 844-267-6648, 844-267-6648. There are volunteers and helicopters, drones, and canines looking for the boy. And they've requested all area residents, if you happen to be listening, to check your door cams if you have them. Also, Citizens are turning on their porch lights and leftover Christmas lights to keep areas lit while the search continues. So good luck with that. If you have any information, call the Two Rivers Police Department. Two Rivers Police Department. It's not good. So best of luck to all who are searching, and hope we get some good news soon. If we do, we'll be happy to pass that along to you. In the meantime, we are taking texts about much less important things right now. Saturday Night Live films. That's the question tonight, and we got a few texts. We will read those right now. We got wow, text line, lighten up, Conrad. Are your thumbs sore? Are you keeping up with this?
I'm keeping up.
All right. From the 414, this is Tom from New Berlin, the Loud Family, Gilda and Bill. Great skit. Did they turn that into a movie? I don't think so, but that was a phenomenal skit. And that's the one where Garrett Morris drives by. Said, you hear us? I was driving by. From the 608, Ross from Crawford County says, Wayne's World. That is, I want to say that might be the biggest box office success, Wayne's World. We were just talking about that the other night, Conrad. We played a couple clips from Wayne's World.
Yeah.
608, Rico from Rock County. Pete, I find this to be one of the hardest questions you've ever asked, and I'm just going to go with the first thing that popped into my head, and that's Adam Sandler, Happy Gilmore. Rico, I'm not afraid to shy away from the tough questions on this show, and I think that's an excellent answer. From the 608, Ross again from Crawford County. Oh, this is Ross. He's telling us he's from Soldier's Grove. Very cool. Thank you, Ross. From the 414 again, Tom from New Berlin. Dan Aykroyd Christmas gifts, bag of glass. That made me think of the Super Bass-O-Matic 76, too. That was great. Thank you, Tom from New Berlin. From the 920, Conrad's dad weighing in. What happened? Oh, there it is. Oh, he says, ask John Mossman. I believe you said he graduated from Baraboo. On what year, when he graduated from Baraboo High School? Conrad has uncles and aunts that have graduated as Baraboo Thunderbirds.
Yeah, go birds.
But you didn't go there, Conrad.
No.
What was Kewaskum's mascot name?
We were the Indians, but the Indians. They changed the name now.
Okay. Yeah, Thunderbirds is a little safer. What's the Kewaskum team name now?
I think it's just Kewaskum.
The Kewaskum sports guys. Chevy Chase and Caddyshack. Paula, love it. That's the one I was going to say because you got multiple Saturday Night Live people in there. That's got to be one of them. And then Steve also, the iconic movie of all time is John Belushi, Animal House. Think about it. Movie before John and his best friend Dan Aykroyd made iconic movies together. The Blues Brothers. Yes, Chevy had great movies, but really only movie is Christmas Vacation that is a classic Christmas movie. I agree, Steve, but I will say the original Vacation is funnier, in my opinion. And I would put Fletch up there, too. Chevy Chase also did two other films, Seems Like Old Times, and I'm totally spacing on the other one.
There was one where he lives on a farm, right?
Funny Farm, yeah.
Funny Farm?
That was very funny, too.
Yeah. Well, it says it in the name, so it should be, you know.
Right. It was a very funny farm. Hey, we got Johnny Beaner's coming up in a couple minutes. Keep those texts coming, folks. It's so fun reading people's texts on the air. 844-967-2789. What is your favorite Saturday Night Live cast member movie? Or text us on the app. Coming up in just a few minutes, comedian Johnny Beaner. Johnny's based in Madison. He's been on David Letterman, had specials. Let's whet people's appetites, Conrad, with a little Johnny Beaner.
My wife and I, we just celebrated our 3 3/4 year anniversary. Thank you. It's kind of a big one. I've been told that after 2-3 years of marriage, a lot of couples decide to have babies. And my wife and I, we've discussed this and we agree we are not ready for a baby. Not even close. Incidentally, we do have a baby. We're not ready for it, but we do have one. It's one of those little girl ones. Have you seen these things? Oh, they are cute. Well, ours is cute. Some of them are, oh. I've seen some duds. But no, we got a cute one. Her name is Edie, and in 2 weeks, she will be 78 weeks old. And She looks just like my wife, like exactly. And my wife likes to joke around that I'm not actually the father, and we laugh. Oh, yeah, it's funny. Yeah. Never gets old either. Yeah.
Oh, that's Johnny Beaner. He's coming up in just a few minutes. Very funny guy. I'm excited to talk to him too because he was one of the last comedians on the Late Show with David Letterman. What a cool thing. I was one of the last comedians to perform on the show Evening at the Improv, and it was just depressing. Like, they had a small crowd. You could tell the show was like circling the drain. On some level, I was happy to be doing it, but the crowd was not good. But being on a show like David Letterman and one of the last comics on such an amazing show for comedians, I'm fascinated by that. It's incredible. So let us know what your favorite Saturday Night Live based movie is. What actor do you like in a Saturday Night Live movie? What's your favorite movie starring an SNL star? That's the question tonight. Always love reading your texts. Weigh in on anything you want tonight. Coming up next, a true Wisconsin funny man, Madison-based Johnny Beaner will be here, comedian. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. I missed a text I'm just getting to now from the 262. Greg from Waukesha says, I will be happy if you and Conrad can tell me that Shamrock Shakes are officially available at McDonald's today. Love those things. Greg, we can tell you that? I don't know that it's going to be true. Conrad, you got your finger on the pulse, don't you? Shamrock Shake?
Let me go to the Google quick.
Go to the Google. Here's another one from Greg from Waukesha. My grandmother turns 103 today. Yes, that's 103 years old. Still lives in her own house. It gets weird with doctor's offices because they ask her for a date of birth. And we have to say 21 is the year. And they're like, what? That's hilarious.
Shamrock Shakes are back.
You can get one right now?
Yeah.
There's like a Homer Simpson type hologram where Greg is right now. He left so fast to get through his Shamrock Shake. Couple more texts here. From the 920, Jim from Appleton, like Papa Rico, first thing to pop into my head, the Blues Brothers. That is absolutely, that's like right up there with Caddyshack because you've got more than one Saturday Night Live star on the show. And then from the 414, Tom from New Berlin again. Lovitz. It's missing a T. That's what messed me up. John Lovitz in A League of Their Own when he was recruiting at the beginning. Yeah. Definitely, that's not a vehicle, but he was good. John Lovitz is funny in everything. Totally agree, Tom. Jim from Appleton also. Ghostbusters, Aykroyd, Murray. Pure awesomeness. Ramis, too. Hey, we've got comedy to get to, folks. I'm very excited to have this next guest on. As some of you may or may not know, I used to be a comedian until the business kicked me to the curb. Joking. But I'm very excited to have another stand-up comic on tonight. He's much more accomplished than I ever could have dreamed to be. He's been on David Letterman. He's at his own Dry Bar special. And he's a very funny guy, Madison-based Johnny Beaner. Johnny, welcome to Nightlight.
Hey, thanks for having me.
This is fun. It's good to meet you.
It's good to meet you, too. Yeah. And it's just a coincidence. I swear I didn't put this up while you were talking, but I've got the vacation poster right next to me. That's going to be my contribution to the conversation.
Very nice. Now, everybody, and maybe it's a generational thing, I don't know, but knows Christmas Vacation. And Christmas Vacation is funny, but the original Vacation to me, yeah, is a classic, right?
It's one of the top five go-to comedies of all time for me. I like Christmas Vacation, but the original, you know, my wife brings, her favorite is European Vacation, which is funny, but it seems like just a different movie. It doesn't seem to fit. I don't know.
Yeah, there were like two big laughs, in my opinion, that I remember from European Vacation. And other than that, you know, it wasn't like it was bad. It just wasn't quite as enjoyable. Vegas Vacation, I couldn't tell you what's going on. But
yeah, I don't know what happened.
Hey, so this is great, Johnny. Tell us about, all right, how did you, you're Madison based, right?
I am in Madison right now. Yes, I live in Madison.
Okay.
Been here about 5 years or so.
Okay, and you got your start in Milwaukee?
Got my start in Milwaukee, yes.
Nice. So tell us how that happened. When did you start and how did that happen? When did you realize that moment where you're like, I have to do stand-up comedy?
I'm originally from Omaha, Nebraska, and college brought me to Wisconsin. I went to Marquette, and in the summers between, you know, school years, I would go live with my brother, Scott Beener, who, after my freshman year, he was living in New York City. He's an actor. He's out in LA now, but he was in New York. And so that first summer I stayed with him, and he did stand up, just a bringer show. And I thought that was so cool. So I tried it. And that was my first time ever doing it, was at New York Comedy Club. It was a bringer show, did 5 minutes. I ate it, but I thought I killed. So I was like hooked right away. And then I just started putting on my own shows on the campus. And I was on the campus, improv team, the Studio 13 Refugees. So I already had a built-in following because everyone loved the improv team. So when I did these stand-up shows, it would, you know, sell out on campus. And then after I graduated, I started doing the clubs, and that was a rude awakening. You have a crowd of people that don't love you before the show starts.
That's hilarious. We have a very similar story there. I went to DePaul University, did a show, a coffee house show at DePaul. All my friends were there. Of course, they were very supportive. Then I got into a college comedy competition at Zanies against other college students, and a lot more DePaul students were there. So I won. I mean, I thought I did okay, but the crowd was packed. So, and then I did my first open mic out at the Comedy College, and I was like, whoa, I'm not as funny as I thought I was, you know?
It's hard. It's a hard pill to swallow because, like, I mean, that's part of being a comedian. It's just that delusion that, like, I am funny enough to be, you know, successful as a stand-up. I remember submitting tapes to like Comedy Central's Laugh Riots contest, you know, and I was like, you know, a year in, and I was I got this. I got this. And then when I, you know, you don't get a call back or you don't get to the next round, you're like, oh, well, it's all network. It's all rigged.
Isn't it funny though? Like some of the funniest moments from when I was doing stand-up was that naivety on me, but I didn't notice it. But when you see it in other people, it's hilarious because you're like, oh, this poor guy. And you're like, I was that guy, you know, but it's just hilarious. So what year was that when you went to New York and tried it for the first time?
It was June of 99 was my first time ever.
No kidding.
Performing stand-up. And then I graduated college in 02. So that's when I kind of started hitting, you know, the Comedy Cafe and going to Chicago and doing mics there and trying to do local clubs. And then in, I think 07 is when I went full-time stand-up.
No kidding. My guest is Johnny Beener. He's a Madison-based, at the moment anyway, stand-up comedian. Sounds like you've been all over, though. You started in Milwaukee, and it looked like in your bio you lived in L.A. for a while.
We moved to LA. We lived there for 4 years, but we got three kids and luckily we got out right before the pandemic.
Oh, no. So you just got back in the last few years. Okay.
It was, I think July of 19 that we moved to Madison.
Wow. Nice work. How is it doing comedy from, like, when I did it, I was based in Chicago, pretty centrally located for all the road gigs and that, but I mean, you're driving no matter what, or flying. Is it easy to do out of Madison? Is that a good location?
No, I mean, it was honestly, it was easier out of Milwaukee just because it's a bigger, you know, airport. I mean, I'm basically flying to Chicago, you know, wherever I go. If I fly, I have to fly to Chicago and then go where I'm really going. Just because Madison's so small. But it's, I mean, I love, you know, Madison's my favorite place that I've ever lived. It's just such a good fit. It's really cool and I like it. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's central enough in the Midwest to get wherever I want to or need to.
It's a great comedy town. And were you blown away? Like, I remember in the 90s when I did stand up going to Milwaukee, the Comedy Cafe was like some of the best crowd. I don't know if it was something in the drinks they were making or what, but those crowds were just unprecedented.
I know. It was, I mean, it was like a spoiler room. You could tape your set on a, you know, on a Thursday and it would be packed. I mean, if you weren't on stage, you were in the way, basically. It was such a
That's
so depressing thinking about those rooms and just how they, you know, aren't that anymore. And now the room's gone, but.
Yeah. They moved downtown for a while. And I worked that once, like in maybe 2016. I don't know why. I wasn't even really doing stand up, but they needed a middle act. So I did it, but it was the exact opposite of the club when it was on Brady Street. Like the crowds were small and they were kind of like there, whatever, like they got passes or something to get in.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just kind of a weird vibe, but, what are your favorite clubs to work, Johnny? Where do you like to go?
My favorite club is probably Comedy on State here in Madison.
Nice.
That's another one. It's just a spoiler room. They've got their audiences trained. They're comedy lovers. It's a great club. They run it great. And then, I don't know. I mean, I like the Skyline in Appleton, you know, that's fun. I haven't been there in a while and it's under new ownership, so it's not as easy, but, Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach is another one. That's just,
oh yeah.
Spoiler room.
Did you ever do the Ice House in Pasadena?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. That's a good room, or was a good room anyway.
Yeah.
So on your website, it says you're a clean comic, and I know you did a dry bar special. Was that a conscious effort when you started doing stand-up? Did you say, I'm going to work clean, or did it just happen that way? And what are the advantages to working clean?
Well, it's funny because, like, sometimes, you know, when I'm doing a club, and I don't realize that I was billed as a particularly clean comedian. Sometimes I'll stretch my legs and not be, I mean, I'm by no means dirty. Like, I'm not filthy at all, but I mean, I'll talk about sex very, you know, I like you would about, you know, with your wife and stuff, you know, just like, not like graphic, but it's like, it's very sophomoric humor. And
sure.
So sometimes, clubs, I don't realize, you know, oh, I saw the poster. It's like, oh, clean comedy night. Okay. But I've done a lot of corporate shows, and the advantage is that it does. Yeah. It opens more doors because you can open for big names. They like clean comics, you know, and there's good paying corporate gigs if you can. Work
yeah.
Clean.
Well, you know, and
it's
you
a lot easier to make it dirty than to make a dirty act clean.
That's what kind of what I always thought. Like, if you can be funny clean, then I don't care if you're dirty. But if the only way you're funny is by dropping F-bombs or being dirty, you're probably not that funny. I'm generalizing, but that was kind of my yeah. opinion, you know.
It's funny. You ever have it where, like, you do a show? Like, I've done it where I'll do a show that I feel like was pretty dirty, where I'll even have a couple F-bombs slip.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then after the show, some old lady will be like, oh, thank you so much for keeping it clean. And I'm like, oh, I didn't think I did.
Right. Isn't that crazy? Like,
used to, you know,
it's funny. I mean, nowadays people like, and I don't know if this happened when the FCC stopped monitoring TV so well, but like there's F-bombs on network TV now or on FX shows or whatever. So I think the bar has just been lowered so you can still get away with that and be considered clean. Although I don't know what dirty is then, unless you're breaking out photos or something, you know?
I know. I don't know if you have Peacock. We were watching some reality show. I was watching a show with my wife, Couple to Thruple. I don't know if you've heard of that show.
I know.
Couple to Thruple. But we're watching it and there's just full out new. I mean, it's a reality show. These couples, and there's just boobs and butts. And like, you see people with, you know, night vision, like,
Oh, wow.
Basically having sex under sheets. And you're like, what the heck? I thought, isn't this basically TV? This is Peacock.
Right.
Whatever.
Now, what was that show again? And talk slowly just so I can.
Couple to throuple.
So who are your comedic influences, Johnny?
I my favorites are like Brian Regan,
yeah,
Jim Gaffigan, and like old Steve Martin. I mean, I love Bill Burr. I love like Louis C.K. I don't know if it's okay to say that.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, but and you know what's funny is like I've been a huge Brian Regan fan for a long time, and I got to meet him. I was doing a show in somewhere just outside, I can't remember where it was, but and he would just happen to be billed in the huge room. It was at a casino, Temecula. That's where it was, the Temecula Comedy Club. And I, you know, sent a letter to the hotel, seeing if they could get it to his road manager, just saying, hey, I'd love to come to your show. You know, I'm working the club this weekend. And he was like, well, I'll come to your show. Or I just said I wanted to meet him. He was like, oh, they put aside like 8 tickets for his entourage to come see me.
Oh, wow.
So him and his crew came and watched me do a headline set. And then we just partied until like 3.
Oh, that's so fun.
Night. I mean, it was like, holy cow. Like, you know, meeting your hero and just being so not being let down at all. And then I've hung out with him a bunch of times since. It's crazy.
That's so great. My guest is Johnny Beaner, and I'll have more with him in coming up next. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Still get in on our question of the night. We've had some really good answers so far. What's your favorite movie starring an SNL actor or actress? 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Let us know. You're welcome to weigh in on just about anything we talk about here, too, on Nightlight. My guest is Johnny Beaner. He's a Madison-based stand-up comedian. We were talking about Brian Regan, and I worked with him 2 weeks in a row right before I left the Midwest. And same deal with you. I was like, I just want to work with this guy. He's so unbelievably funny. And those of you listening, if you don't know who Brian Regan is, Google him. Watch his I Walked on the Moon special. He's just a phenomenal comedian. It's so cool that he came to your show. And, you know, I'll just share a quick story, Johnny. When we were in the green room, I found him to be just as funny as when he was on stage.
Mm-hmm.
He told some... I made a joke that I was the all-time leading pregame scorer at my high school because I didn't get in the game much, so the pregame. And he told a story about how the first it was the first game of the year he was on the basketball team. The band is playing, the crowd's going crazy, and he was first in the layup line, and somebody threw him the ball, and it went off his knee into the crowd, into the band. And I couldn't even catch my breath. I was laughing so hard. And I always wondered, I'm like, his whole act is about feeling like an idiot. And that's what it's so funny and relatable because we've all been there. Yeah. So what did he have advice for you, or have you worked with him since you met him? How does that work? That's so cool that you guys are friends.
I haven't worked with him since I met him. I reached out to him when I saw he was in Madison when I was not working that time. And he already had an opener. So he just was like, oh, I'll bring, you know, if you and your wife want to come, I'll put tickets aside. So we went, you know, he brought us backstage and we hung out and then hung out after the show. And then I hung out with him again when I would just happened to be passing through wherever he was. I stopped at the club and he was there and we hung out. But it was just like, it's surreal. I mean, I know he's, you know, it's funny when you're like, oh, if you don't know who Brian Regan is, you got to look him up. And I'm thinking, oh my, how can everyone not know who he is? He's the funniest person on the planet. I think that, like, the highlight of my career is the first night when he saw my show and we're drinking, his brother Dennis showed up.
Also very funny. Yeah.
Yeah, very funny. And I'm just sitting at this table listening to Brian Regan retell my jokes to his brother Dennis.
Oh man.
And them both cracking up, and I'm just like, oh my God, there's nothing better than this. I don't know.
That is so great. That's a surreal, like, career moment. That's so cool. All right. So you did Letterman, and we have a mutual friend, Tom Clark, who I just hung out with in person for the first time a couple weeks ago. He was in my adopted hometown of Marinette, and his wife, Steph, who is also very funny. And Tim Cavanaugh was there too. We had a great time. They were both in town doing separate fundraisers. Yeah. And Tom saw Tim's post on Facebook and said, I'll be in Marinette, Wisconsin, February 3rd. And that was the same day Tom was going to be there. And he's like, did I get bumped from a fundraiser? What? Anyway, he told me about you and he said he's been on Letterman. And I'm like, Letterman? And I forget that Letterman's only been off the air less than 10 years. What was that like? I mean, how cool was that doing the Late Show with David Letterman?
Oh, I was so surreal. I mean, and obviously, like, I obviously was like a fallout. The timing was perfect because I reached out to the booker at the time. And he said, yeah, we like it. You know, we'll work with you and try to get it on. And that was before he'd announced he'd retired. And then it kind of got radio silence. And I just kept emailing. And then finally I was like, well, he's retiring. I'm not going to get on. And after the holidays, I was like, well, I'll write him one more time and just say happy holidays. You know, hope everything's okay with the show, whatever. And he wrote back and he's like, hey, can you hop on a phone call today?
Oh,
and I was like, sure. And he was like, hey, are you available, you know, this coming Friday? Or I think it was a week. It was because it was on my daughter's birthday that this happened. It was on January 7th. And I performed on January 14th, 2015. And it aired, you know, the next day because he does two on Thursday. And it was just so quick, which I think is great because I didn't have as much time to be nervous or dreading
right.
or second-guessing. You know, it was just like, so fast. I ran the set every night and then I went and I talked to enough comedians that had done it that had given me the advice to just, you know, really take it in, not fly through. So I was very with it and aware while I was out there and it was surreal. I was the last new comedian he had on the show. So he had comics after me, but they had all been on before.
That's incredible. Oh, that's amazing. And your set, we played a teaser clip from it before you came on. You just look so comfortable. Like, you never would have even known. Because you're right. A lot of guys get on there and they talk fast and you could tell they're nervous. And even the ones that try to temper that, you could still kind of tell they're nervous. But you were like, it was almost like you were taking a mental snapshot the whole time you were up there and just really digging it.
That's exactly what I was doing. I was looking at the crowd and being like, I got to remember this. But I was nervous.
Oh, I'm sure. Of course. Did Dave say anything to you when you were done?
No. And I had been told like, oh, sometimes he walks behind the wall and watches on a monitor. So don't be alarmed. Cause there was a bit where I do turn around and I looked at his desk and I saw he wasn't there. And if I hadn't known that, I'd have been like, ah, he just left.
He took a powder.
Yeah. Oh. But no, I didn't talk to him, you know, before or after, but other than what's, you know, on the show when he shook my hand. And so that, you know, it was a great experience. It was fun.
That's so cool. We have a special guest who's just going to pop in for a minute or two and talk about his movie getting distribution. Can you hang for a few through that, Johnny?
Sure.
And you can even be on the air and ask, I mean, I'm not saying to hold, but I'd love to keep you for a few minutes more if you have the time.
Sure, of course.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. And I promise not to ask you too many Letterman questions. Can you tell how envious I am? That's so great. My guest is Johnny Beaner. He's going to stick around for a few more minutes. Coming up next, more with Madison's own Johnny Beaner and a quick update from John Mossman on his new film and where you can see it. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.